Psalm 3, it follows after Psalm 2, which we had last week, oddly enough. Right before Psalm 4, if you got to Psalm 4, you went too far. Eight verses. Psalm 3 says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many here, there are many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. From Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David, he says this about the title, or also called the inscription, quote, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. You will remember the sad story of David's flight from his own palace when in the dead of night he forded the brook Kidron and went with a few faithful followers to hide himself for a while from the fury of his rebellious son. Remember that David in this was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He too fled. He too passed over the brook Kidron when his own people were in rebellion against him. And with a feeble band of followers, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He too drank of the brook by the way, and therefore doth he lift up the head. By very many expositors, this is entitled the Morning Hymn. May we ever wake with holy confidence in our hearts and a song upon our lips. End quote. Now, of the division of the psalm, Charles Spurgeon says this in the Treasury of David, quote, the psalm may be divided into four parts of two verses each. Indeed, many of the psalms cannot be well understood unless we attentively regard the parts into which they are to be divided. They are not continuous descriptions of one scene, but a set of pictures of many kindred subjects. As in our modern sermons, we divide our discourse into different heads, so it is in these psalms. There is always unity, but it is the unity of a bundle of arrows and not of a single solitary shaft. Let us now look at the psalm before us. In the first two verses, you have David making a complaint to God concerning his enemies. He then declares his confidence in the Lord in verses 3 and 4, sings of his safety in sleep in verses 5 and 6, and strengthens himself for future conflict in verses 7 through 8. Now, I like to, as you know, try to see Christ in everything. And that's not all there is to Christianity. Certainly we have these other devotions, the Baptist devotional in here, and there was another one that was picked up, and Sister Terry brought me one that was called the Our Daily Bread. That had been around for a long time, and there are certainly good things in those. My pointing out Jesus Christ should be able to bring about those truths that you might find in those other things, those practical things, so that when you do your good works, your gospel works, those things that flow from the truth of who you are, flows from your faith, that it does flow from the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what's most important to me. That's what I believe is going to be most important for us as a congregation, that when we see Christ, then those things that we do, they're being done out of the truth of who Christ is and what he has done. Remember, it's not what would Jesus do as if we have the power in and of ourselves to do it. It's what has Jesus done. And since Jesus did it, then how are we to behave? How are we to act? So let's look at Christ from this portion just real quickly. How is Christ expressed in this text? In verse 1, how long are they, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. In Mark chapter 15, verses 13 to 14, they cried out, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. Consider that 4 days earlier, they were crying out, Hosanna, Leben David, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David, save now. They were quoting Psalm 118. They hailed him as the Christ 4 days earlier, and there before Pontius Pilate, they cried out, crucify him. In verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. And then it has that Selah in there, which I believe, though it has no modern interpretation today, I believe that it is a musical instruction to pause. Pause. Forget singing any further until you contemplate this truth. So in verse 2, in verse 1 where we have the rejection of Christ, in verse 2 we have the mocking of Christ. Matthew 27, verse 43, the people cried out, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 43, he trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. They mocked Jesus. And here we see this in verse 2. In verses 3 and 4 where it says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. There's a hymn, a modern hymn that is written from this particular portion, and we should sing it, and we should sing it vibrantly. However, it first speaks of Jesus Christ, and this is where it has its power. Confidence, this verses 3 and 4 speak of the confidence of Christ. See, he trusted always in his heavenly Father, and he trusted in the truth of God's prophetic word. Luke chapter 23, verse 46 says, then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Or in the King James Version, I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. He did what David failed to do. David is the author. He did what Adam failed to do. Adam did not commit or commend his spirit unto God in the garden. Jesus, as perfect man, did. In verses 5 and 6, where we see, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. When you consider this, now, Jesus is perfect man. As he's growing in the scriptures, reading this portion right here in Psalm 3, the first 4 verses, he didn't have to be shocked by those things, saying, I'm going to go to the cross. I understand my mission in life. I understand my ministry on earth. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, woe is me. He didn't have to say like Isaiah in chapter 6, oh, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah must say that because that's what we say when we see the Lord high and lifted up. But Jesus was able to sleep in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm. He was able to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when people were ready to arrest him. Actually, he didn't sleep on that day, but he could sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, or he was as comfortable in the home of Lazarus, whom he loved. So he could sleep soundly because he trusted in God. In verse 7, where we see, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. When we read this, we should be reminded that what we have seen already in the previous verses, that this is what we deserve. We deserve to be treated by God as enemies because of the sins that we have committed against him. We deserve to have our teeth broken in our mouths because of the words that spill forth from our tongues and from our lips. The blasphemy against the holy, an infinitely holy God. Yet, because of Christ, he was smitten of God. He was smitten by men. His face was repeatedly pummeled with fists by men when he was arrested. And then finally in verse 8, where it says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. Though Christ was struck repeatedly in the face by his enemies, smitten of God by suffering God's holy wrath for sins he did not commit, because he was, and having faith in him, we can agree with the Apostle Paul, who says to Tertius, who wrote it down in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 5 and verse 10, where it says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his death. And so here we have this psalm that speaks of Christ and his humanity. And his humanity was more than a mere humanity. He is perfect, sinless man, and fully God. And those truths of who Christ is, as we see them in the Psalms, we recognize I cannot, in the best of what I've done, by God's grace, even come close to walking as the Son of God did. But I rejoice in it that he had, so that in him, you and I, we have life in his name. And so that's our devotion for tonight. And with that, I can actually even say, any questions or comments? All right, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mike, and I'm going to go back with the young people, and we're going to talk about some stuff, I think.